Please pray with me. Almighty Father, we enter your presence, confessing the things we try to hide from you and the things we try to hide from others. We confess the hurt, worry, and sadness we have caused that makes it difficult for others to forgive us. At times we have made it easy for others to do wrong, the harm we have done that makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Lord, have mercy and forgive us through Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. Well, I brought my little friend up this morning because I wanted you all to see who's here. Stacy and the boys are here, so we're so excited that you're here. For those of you that don't know, I got the opportunity to go visit them in Germany in January, so it was very special that Saul came and sat with me up front. He's going to stand with me for just a couple minutes because I'm a little nervous. I usually get to be your announcement girls, and today I get to share the message with you. Being that this is the kinship service, I am going to try to keep things short and sweet and simple so that everybody in the service can understand what we're talking about, because this is a really important passage. We've been working through the book of Galatians, and what the Galatians is, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the people of Galatia, to the churches he founded there on his first missionary trip. And he writes this letter for two reasons. One of them is he wants to remind the Christians he's calling the Christians to faith and freedom in Christ. In addition, he's writing the letter to refute the Judaizers. The Judaizers are a group of Jews who've become Christians, and they're telling the Gentiles, in order to be a Christian, you need to first be a Jew, and you need to follow all these rules. And Paul is saying, that's not what it's about. Relationship with Christ, being a Christian, is all about freedom in Christ. It's our freedom from the law, it's our freedom from the power of sin, and it's our freedom to serve the one true living God. So today we're looking specifically at chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. I have the Boatwrights that are going to come up and read the scripture. And right before they read, I just want to point out that in this portion of the scripture, Paul's tone changes dramatically. He moves from the argument of truth to a place of making it personal and reminding them that it's about relationship. So gentlemen, I'm going to let you read the scripture, and then I'm going to let you walk Saul back to his mom.
Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws.
You did not mistreat me when I first preached you. Surely you remember when I was sick when I first brought you to the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, look at me. No, you took me and cared for me as though you were an angel from God or even Jesus Christ himself. Where is that joyful, grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Had I now become your enemy, because I am telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor. Their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention to only them. If someone is so eager to do anything good for you, that is all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. My dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains again for you, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you.
All right, Saul, I'm going to let you go sit down. Gentlemen, I'll let you walk Saul to his mom, and thank you so much for reading. Appreciate that. So Paul says, become like me because I became like you. If you remember, Paul was like the most Jewish Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was all about the law. He was about persecuting the Christians because they weren't doing the things that they needed to do. And because they weren't doing that, they were being heretics, and he was willing to kill them. But what he's saying to the Galatians now is he was saying, I was wrong. Become like me, and I've gotten out from under the letter of the law. He then goes into recalling his visit. He's making it personal. He says, you did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and you cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. He's praising them because they did accept him. They took him in even when it was difficult. In some of the things that I've read, it refers to his condition as being despicable. What was the other word? I'm having one of those moments. But just that his sickness was awful, that it was kind of like he was an untouchable. Some places say perhaps it was the weeping of the eyes. We don't know what the sickness per se was that we had, but we do know that it was enough of a sickness that it made establishing a relationship with him difficult. Yet the Galatians did that. They did not let his condition stop them from becoming in relationship, in having a relationship with him. And I think that's good for us to remember. Treat others well, regardless of whether it's difficult or not. Repulsive, that's the word. Or if they're repulsive to you. Whether they're physically repulsive, whether they don't see the same way that you do, whether their lifestyle's different, we're called to love. Ruth talked about the heart. You know, that is so much of what God is concerned about. I think he's more concerned about our heart health than anything else. So Paul's praising them that they were able to look past that repulsiveness. They were able to accept him. They were able to be in relationship with him. And he's reminding them of that relationship. But he does say, where is that joy and that grateful spirit that you felt then? Saying, you don't have it anymore. When I was there, you had this sense of blessing that just overflowed. And it's gone. And he's implying that a lot of that reason is because they have allowed themselves to follow these false teachers and to become under the law and to live legalistically. And legalism can really steal our joy. I don't know if you've experienced, but I have. When we live under the law and when we are doing things legalistically, we tend to feel guilty rather than loved. Legalism produces a self-hatred rather than a humility. It definitely stresses our performance over our relationships. I have to do something because this is the rule and I have to do it, and it's not talking about my heart. But then I'm missing the whole point. And legalism also focuses on how short we've come, how short we've fallen, rather than on how far we've grown because of the love of God for us. So my question to you is, do you live by faith in Christ? Or do you live by trying to live up to the demands and expectations of others? I struggle with this. I find myself all too often living up to those demands or that expectation. And it's when I start feeling the guilt and the inadequacy that I have to stop myself and I have to take a look at what I'm focusing on. What am I allowing to become the most important thing to me? How many of us are truly living that joyful life in Christ? Do you have that overflowing joy? How about the peace that passes understanding? Rest for the weary? How about your prayer time with God? Does it feel to you like you are in conversation with your very best friend? If you've experienced it, are you able to maintain it? That's a hard one. There's a gentleman, his name is Paul Parshall, and he described his relationship with God as blissful and enriching, and it was like the Bible coming alive. But then he goes on to share that for him, those emotions faded and he felt as though he stepped onto an express elevator that moved rapidly and relentlessly between the rooftop of victory and the basement of defeat. I have gotten motion sickness from that elevator in my life. You know, how do we keep that joy alive and how do we let the other stuff go? How do we appropriate the abundant love that God promises us? The good news is he does promise to make us like Christ. The not so good news is he doesn't promise that that process will be easy or instantaneous. So this is what Paul was confronting the Galatians with. He said, you have lost your joy. And he's calling them out on that. And he's blaming it again, like I said, on following those false teachers. Because remember, life in Christ is all about freedom. It's transforming our hearts. It's not just simply enforcing the rules. Like I said, God is so much more concerned about our heart health than anything else. He wants us to follow certain rules, but not because we feel like we have to, but because we love him and we want to be closer to him. And we don't want that sin to block us from him. Paul says, have I become your enemies because I'm telling you the truth? Again, he's calling them out. He says, I have not changed. My message has not changed. What has changed is your attitude. But then right as he's calling them out, he's also putting his arm around them. And he gets gentle and tender. He says, oh, my dear children, I feel as I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I was with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. I'm not quite sure how he has the experience to know what labor pains feel like, but I think we have the right idea. He compares the pain that he feels because they're going in the wrong direction with the pain of childbirth. He loves the Galatians, and he truly wants the best for them, and he's not willing to watch them go astray and just not do anything. Even if that makes them unhappy. Even if they start looking at them different. I know I think it's a lot like being a parent. There is nothing harder in my life than watching my children hurt. There's nothing harder in my life than watching my children make choices that I don't think are the best. There's nothing harder in my life than stopping myself from butting in. But there are some times I feel like I have to because I don't want the people I love to do things that are going to hurt them. But for me, that challenge is in the midst of confronting them to also put my arm around them and to show them that it's because I love them and not to be so harsh that I'm just being that, you know, intrusive mom. It kind of reminds me of the analogy we always have when you hear about parenting and the bank account. And you got to make sure that you have enough deposits before you take the withdrawals. Paul sees the Galatians losing sight of the prize. And that's painful to him. And he wants the best for them. He wants them to be passionate. He wants them to be zealous. But he wants them to be passionate and zealous about the right thing. Just as the Lord wants us to be passionate and to be zealous, but he wants us to be passionate and zealous for him. He wants us to be filled with joy and purpose. You know, he made each of us with a purpose. And he wants each of us to have a real relationship with him. He wants us to turn away from sin and to turn to him because he paid the price for our sins so that we don't have to live under all the rules. He conquered death. So that we did not have to enslave ourselves under the law, but so that we could live in that joy and live with a purpose. Again, walking with God is all about freedom in Christ. The freedom from the law to do things because we love him, because we want to, because we want to grow closer to him. Freedom from the power of sin, where that relationship with God means more than the temptations of sin. And freedom to serve God because we love him and we want to be more like him and we love his people and we want to draw them into relationship with ourselves and with God. If you are not walking in that freedom, if you feel bogged down, if you are trying to be somebody because you think you're supposed to look, act, feel, dress, do certain things, then I encourage you to really take a look at what your focus is. I encourage you to do something about that and to start today. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose life. A life that comes from God. A life that goes the direction that He wants us to go. A life that is filled with His love and His passion and His joy. Not because we're told we have to do something, but because we're fulfilling the purpose that He's given for us. Please pray with me. Lord, thank You for loving us so much that You sent Your Son to take on our sins, to take those sins to the cross so that we do not have to pay the price. Thank You for forgiving us, for wanting a relationship with us, for giving us freedom in You. And I ask that You would fill each of us with joy and purpose, the joy and purpose that revolves around You. Transform our hearts, build our desires to be close to You and to love others, and help us to welcome others into our relationships and allow them to live in the same freedom as You want for us. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.